Welcome back to QR Calgary and More Than Money. Trump is here now. Mm-hmm. He's the president again. And what does that mean for the Canadian energy sector? Some people are saying it's going to boom. Some people say it's going to bust. We have to find out what's going to happen here. What do you think when you're talking to clients, when we're talking to analysts, that they are concerned about when it comes to energy in Canada and the new Trump administration?
I would say the main thing that I'm hearing is a lack of certainty. That and particularly from clients, they look at Alberta's, you know, very much an energy-based economy. So what does that actually mean to us? There's a lot of uncertainty around that.
There is uncertainty, and there's a lot in front of us right now. And so we need to bring on our guest, Dan McTeague, president of the Canadians for Affordable Energy. Dan, welcome to the show again.
Great to be here. Thank you, Faisal. Thank you, Eliana.
Okay, let me set this up for everybody. Dan has taken time out. Unfortunately, he's at an auto body shop getting his car repaired, and he's literally sitting in someone's office at the car shop while he's talking to us. That's how important this subject is, Dan, when we talk about Trump and all the impacts that could happen to Alberta, to Canada's energy sector. What's your take of this new change?
Well, I think the change may be, on the one hand, bold. It may be positive. On the other hand, a lot of uncertainty. I would think that you have a government, that administration now, that has made it very clear that energy is a priority. If I heard the president-elect, former president, to be making his statements about energy and climate, I think he's made it very clear he wants cheaper energy. To do that, he's going to have to ensure the United States can drill, do a little bit more than what it's doing right now. But I think he has to be concerned, as do others who are looking at this, saying the United States energy is plateauing. They are not increasing. I think Chevron's made that very clear. Others have said the same thing. They've been going ace bonkers for the past several years while Canada sort of sat back a little bit, saw pipelines blocked, saw other forms of hijinks that really tied up and snarled our ability to come to the rescue of the Americans, especially when it comes to the fact that most refiners in the United States have configured to take and adopt heavier slates of oil. You know, frankly, it's not to take away from the Americans or with the intentions of the president, but he may be shocked to find out that light, tight shale oil doesn't make very good diesel. And you don't run an economy without diesel, distillates, aviation fuel, take your pick, transportation fuels. So Canada is very much an important part of what will make this administration tick, especially given that I think when it comes to natural gas and of their oil wells, they are probably aging, and there's only so much technology that can get you back into this game. And I think that's probably very bullish for Canada, assuming, of course, it can get its product to market. And that's always been a challenge. It continues to be a challenge. Of course, it isn't lost on most people that the attempt by my former party, I was an 18-year Liberal member of Parliament, to impose emission caps is not going to help us get to that point. In fact, it can be very much seen by people like me as a very vindictive move by the government to try to, as it were, kneecap an industry which is not just important. I'm in Eastern Canada right now. If Canadians out in my neck of the woods here in Toronto, Montreal, and the Atlantic provinces understood how much revenue is being generated, royalties and whatnot, that allow us to have our social programs, our pensions, and the viability of our network and our standard of living, I think most Canadians would start to have a very different opinion of what's happening, perhaps not shrug their shoulders in the way that I see they're not doing so in Alberta or Saskatchewan at this point. But that aside, I think for the Trump administration, the challenge will be saying one thing and meeting it will be another factor. Remember, they still have to supercharge or recharge that strategic petroleum reserve that was drained rather dangerously during the Biden-Harris administration. I'm not sure how you're going to do it at $70 a barrel oil without causing more oil to go up. And OPEC may not be in a position to, although it had good relations, especially Saudi Arabia, with the previous Trump administration, I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to simply, you know, snap their fingers, wave a magic wand, and suddenly provide the United States with oil that's going to need to keep those prices low.
Dan, tie this into, as a Canadian overall, with the concepts, plans, ideas that the Trump administration has put out during the campaign, and we'll be talking about it going in the future, what's the real impact to Canada given where we are? We have Canadian problems of getting our oil to market. We have Canadian problems in regards to our economic policies, our political policies. But let's talk about, you know, really for Canadians, and then let's narrow it down for Albertans. What's the impact here?
Well, I think for Canadians, selling more oil, getting more oil to U.S. markets is key, more than any other market. Perhaps having an alternative to saying another Trans Mountain pipeline, not that something like that could be done, considering, of course, the cost continues to rise even after it's been built and in operation. I would think the positive side is that the more energy Canada can get to the U.S. markets, you know, pushing easily as the Premier of Alberta, Danielle Smith, has indicated being able to maybe double over the next decade or so. I know that sounds ambitious, but if you had the takeaway capacity, you could certainly do that. So the opportunities are there. The question is, would the discount continue? Would the massive discount continue that we saw pre-TMX opening up? I suspect that wouldn't be the case, but no one can build a pipeline in a period of 4 years. So I think the opportunities for Canada and the energy sector is certainly there, as long as we have an intention, a nod by governments to say, we'll do whatever we can to get our energies, natural gas and oil. And why not? At 10, 12 of our best trading partners come to us knocking on our door saying, can we get a share of some of the energy? We'd much prefer to buy it from you than we would from some of the other countries in the world. But our most important ally will be the United States. If President Trump makes good in his pledge to have cheaper energy, it seems to me that he's going to have to open up the pipes and do what he can to get more energy from Canada into the United States. And I'm not just talking oil here and natural gas. There's electricity from my neck of the woods, Ontario, to a lesser extent, Quebec. The Atlantic Loop could also be a factor. But bringing it back to Alberta, Alberta really is the wild card in all of this. The extent to which it doesn't do well and not able to make those meet those challenges means that the rest of the country will in some way suffer. By that, I mean the mere fact that most of the energy, oil and gas, is from Alberta is something that isn't lost on Canadians. When it comes to a setback for Alberta would be a setback for Canada, certainly in terms of its finances at a time in which our debt continues to rise.
When you look at the next steps that this provincial government in Alberta needs to do and the next administration in Canada when that election is done, what are two things that you want provincially being done and federally being done that can be done in a short period of time that will help the Canadian and the Alberta economy?
We need to go back to energy security. We need to not discount that as we have for the past 5 or 6 years or trivialize it with other distractions. And I'm not being, nasty to those who think that it's all about the climate, but I think we can do a little bit less with the rhetoric on the climate, deal with more affordability issues. Remember, if Alberta can sell more oil and natural gas and Canada can sell more natural resources, the value of our dollar increases. And as it increases, sort of the purchase power of every Canadian, it's not lost on people who talk to me about when I do my gas price predictions, that 24, 25 cents on every liter of gasoline is actually foregone and lost on most Canadians because it takes 139 pennies to buy a US dollar. And that's pretty much true of every commodity, whether it's made here or not. And so I think Alberta's success in being able to manage to negotiate a greater relationship with the United States in terms of greater energy, which of course they do want, given, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the configuration of many of the refineries. The extent to which Alberta is successful means the country will be successful. Many consumers, in ways that they can't possibly appreciate right now, would be positively affected. If they don't, well, and then we see people saying, let's cut back 10, 15, 20% of production. If I'm to read the Deloitte Touche, that's their old company, the Deloitte report on what emissions caps and other net zero regulations would do, it may in fact mean a significant step backwards. Alberta would see its production decrease by 15, 16%. That would mean royalties, that would mean revenues, that would mean the value of the Canadian dollar would suffer. And I think all those things are just factors that a future government cannot afford to ignore. I think our strength is energy, and it is very much a very powerful weapon that we have with our friends south of the border that allows us to get back into the business. If it's about energy, then they're willing to negotiate on many other fronts. They're not going to tariff Canadian.
We're out of time, Dan. Sorry, we can definitely talk about this more. We need to talk about this more. Want to thank you for joining us.
What a pleasure being here. Thank you very much.
Dan Mateek, President of the Canadian for Affordable Energy. When you think about some of these issues and the economic impact to your own place, you start worrying about your own retirement, and we're going to talk about how that whole issue can be solved with a simple strategy that we've put together. When is that seminar, Leanna?
Yeah, join us. Our next seminar is live in person at the Carriage House Inn on Tuesday, December 3rd at 7 p.m. So make sure you go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
All right. Now, what does Trump have to do with your retirement and your portfolio? We'll talk about the impacts after the break. More Than Money on QR Calgary.